I'm talking about a book. But if you read, you start coming across different views of eschatology. You're just going to. And you might come across views of eschatology that are not only different, that are radically different. And some of them are by very good Bible-believing men. Now, in my day, when I was young, I came across this. Let me see. You're 16, Josh? I came across it at 18 because I actually read. You know what it means to read? I actually read books when I was young. I started out slower, you know, one or two books a week. I read more than that now. I didn't say a year. But I did read at 18 years old, and I started coming across. I came across this from Matthew Henry. And the issue was the question of time. When you read the book of Revelation, what time is it talking about? Now, I'm going to get into some notes, and some of this will be, it's very easy, but some of you will like, I don't know what this is about. That's okay, but let's start with something simple. We're going to pretend back here that, let's see, we'll start with Superman. Superman back here, are you 15? When will you be 16? Oh, next year, so we got some safety before you can drive. Is that correct? You already are driving? I need extra insurance. Well, in a few years, he's going to go to college. Somewhere in college, he's going to see some young lady. And somewhere along the line, he's going to ask that young lady to meet him at Bob Jones University. What is the place they had there? Cassie, what are they? Where do kids meet? Is there a place to eat there or something? The snack shop. He's, by the way, he's the last of the big daters. He's taking her to the snack shop. And he wants to go for dinner. So, Peter, answer the question. He asks his girlfriend to dinner. What time is dinner? 7 p.m.? If you're a good Filipino, it's like midnight on Friday night. Let's go to Chicago and down to Chinatown and have food. most of us, dinner is what? Louis? 5 or 5:30 or 6? Yeah. Oh, noon if it's on a Sunday. Oh, somebody preaches long. That hurts my feelings. So these are pretty obvious. You know, you could run into problems. Now, the reason I bring this up is communication is an easy thing. Superman's got his eyes on some young lady. It will happen. Trust me. They might even look at you, you hope. One day, you know, when your fuzz starts to grow. I can still remember. It's been a while, but I can remember shaving just to see my... Yeah, I used to do that. Now if I shave once a month, no. Anyhow, my first date. Superman, are you ready for this? My first date with my present wife. Didn't start very well. Because where I'm from doesn't make where I'm from good or doesn't make it bad. It just makes it is. Dinner is not this. Dinner's at noon. Supper's at night. And you say, what do you call... That thing you put in a brown bag is called lunch. So if you want to have lunch, you put it in a bag. And it's a lunch bag, you know, lunch. But if you're going to have dinner, that's at noon. So our first date, our second date, we had a little problem with dinner. I thought it was at lunch. She thought it was at 6 p.m. It was a mess. Because I was mad because she wasn't even there. And she was mad when I didn't show up. Now, don't get nervous. It's been a long time ago. Thankfully, some things you forget. Some things we forget, kind of. Folks, if I went down and talked to my mother right now and said, Mom, I'll be over for dinner, and I came at 6 p.m., she would not be ready for 6 p.m. Now, what am I talking about? Communication is real simple, isn't it? No, it's not really that simple. Now, in your notes, and by the way, this is philosophical. I'm only going to just touch on it. When we start talking about time, and we'll come back to Revelation in a moment, you understand that kind of time. Well, I probably should put another piece of time up here. How about this? Now, this is dating me. Rolando, this dates me to the Dark Ages, okay? When I got out of a laboratory for the last 3 or 4 years, they were just starting to do glucoses with the little gizmos by the bedside. You know, I'm still back in the Dark Ages where the lab drew them, took them downstairs. It took 1 hour to do one. So you get a stat glucose at this time. So Frenchie looks intelligent. You get a stat glucose at 12:01. Yeah, and you might be right because you're speaking from what? Yeah, but military time is not written on the board. Is it? That is correct. So what would you do? By the way, you wait till noon to draw a stat glucose if that doctor wants a minute after midnight and you are dead. See, you read, what did you do, Frenchie? You read your ideas into the time. Now, if I were to put this here for a military guy, every military guy knows it's 1 minute after noon. Do the young people know that? If I put this down, well, actually, nobody ever writes that. If you did, you would have, you know, one of the problems is you still have a problem with midnight. By the way, if I got one of these in a laboratory, first thing I do was call the charge nurse and find out what are you really looking for. Yeah, but PMs, I don't mess with that stuff. I would ask, is it, you want this right after midnight? You want this right after midnight? By the way, folks, this is life or death stuff. So, communication. Look in your notes. Now, we're going to talk about communication because time is a big issue when it comes to reading the book of Revelation. And folks, I don't expect some of you to understand the first 10 minutes, and that's okay. This is not something you think about every day. Communication, I say, is communication, and it's always difficult for both sides, that's the key, to give and receive the same information. You know, you can give your information. How many of you are married? This is a problem in marriage. You state something very clearly, and your spouse... Wow. It's like, I thought we were talking to each other. Wow. And you add, by the way, you add some emotion to the mix. Hello? And you add the fact that your wife's been mad at you for the last 3 weeks, there's no hope. No hope at all. Well, when we read the Bible, you have three pieces. You have the author, which is ultimately the Holy Spirit. This is in your notes. You have the text, which is the only thing you're ever going to see is the text, of course. And then you have the reader. And of course, I know this is weird, but in the ancient world, no one would have ever thought about being a reader of the Bible. They would have thought about being a hearer. Because for several reasons, no one would have owned the whole Bible in Jesus' time except the big synagogues. You would not have had those even in small synagogues. You'd have had the Torah, because they put it in scrolls. And trust me, you didn't go to work. You know, I have my Bible in multiple editions on my phone. Can you imagine taking the Bible in scrolls to work? Yeah, I'm going to take it on my break and read. Now you just pop it up. I mean, nobody had it. So, by the way, that's the reason the New Testament and Old Testament talk so much about hearing, because I don't know if everybody could read. There's all kinds of debate. But people mainly heard. But the question is, Frenchie, since you're the one that told us the time, Which one of these determines the meaning of a text? I, as the reader or hearer, or the author? And how do we determine meaning? Well, I would hope so. That is, that's the reason in politics, for all of you that are not from America or you're young, the big divide is not over Trump and the other knuckleheads. Some of it is over how we read the Constitution. And the way a conservative reads the Constitution is we think the original authors, what they intended is important. Liberals think Ruth Bader Ginsburg determines what the Constitution means. Okay? There's a huge difference. Because, you know, a lot of our rights that they have created, no one ever heard of before. So, this is the same in the Bible. This discussion is not just up in Christianity. It's in the judicial system. It's in literature. It's every place. I won't go any further with that because that's too much for a Sunday morning. Other than this, let me give you where the authority of understanding something. So in your notes, this is a pretty technical discussion here, but it is this. It is the original intent. The original intent. The original intent of the author, as found in and expressed by, you find, how do you know what he intended or she intended? In the Bible, it's he. It's expressed by the text. So, we believe, we want to get back to what the author intended as it is found in the text that the author authored. How's that sound? All right, that's enough of that. That's way beyond pay grades here this morning. And may I say this to young people? You might have not heard a thing I just said. If you want this country to be sane, you better learn these ideas down to where they're part of you, because we now have people that don't care what the Bible intended either, just like they don't care what the Constitution intended. It's the philosophy is a philosophy that's applied every place. And they say simply this, it doesn't matter what he or she thought, doesn't matter what the text says, we're smarter than those people. We're smarter than Thomas Jefferson and Madison and all those people, and we're certainly smarter than Paul. That's a given. All right, we'll move on. Skip the examples. I've already given you a couple, and let me go down, and we're going to go into the first two this morning of ways that people look at the book of Revelation, Matthew 24, and other places in relationship to time. In your notes, Revelation, this discussion is not primarily or just about numbers, though that is usually included. So we're not talking this morning really about the number 1,000. That's not really what I'm getting at. So this is a different kind of discussion than that. I'm going to give you something, and then we will explain these ideas if I can. It's not in your notes, but you can write it. The question that we're looking at is this. The book of Revelation was written here. Here we are, here, and whenever the Lord comes in the future. Okay? That's a timeline. The question that we're looking for and looking at is, how does the book of Revelation, book of Revelation and Matthew 24 and any prophetic passage actually, 2 Thessalonians 2, any prophetic passage, how does it relate to time? That's the real question. So I'll give it to you in two forms. I'm going to draw a little diagram that's not in your notes, but I'll give it to you at the same time here. I say this, this is more about when Revelation transpires. So here are the four views. We'll cover two of them today, I hope. One view says Revelation transpired in the first century. That view is called, it's our first view, I think, our second view, I don't remember which, preterism. So when you read Matthew 24 and you hear about the Lord coming in the clouds, that already happened. You say, how'd that happen? Where'd that happen? Well, they all believe, except one, believe in reading the Bible. That's history. See if this one works. Yes, symbolically. So all of them read the Bible symbolically, but they believe that all of this happened in the first century, actually around 70 AD. Okay? That's one view. So the book of Revelation, Matthew 24, all prophecy, how does it relate to time? Let me say it this way. It's already happened. Now, please look at me. Just so you know, I want to get right specific to real people, no religion. R.C. Sproul. Anybody read anything about R.C. Sproul? Excellent thinker. He's with the Lord now. He was a preterist. You can read him in passages and be blessed by him immensely. When he came to prophecy, it's already happened. And you're like, happened in the first century. Now, I'm going to explain what that means. I want you to be aware you're going to come across this even from good people. Okay? R.C. Sproul is one of the most obvious that I know that people in here might have read. Secondly, is this view, and I'll just draw it like this. The book of Revelation happens throughout the centuries. So the way it relates to time is, they say some of it happened in AD 70, maybe, or AD 90. Some of it happened in 313. Some of it happened. And they just kind of, all of this happens throughout time. We're going to get more specific, but all I want you to do is get the ideas. How does Revelation relate to time? It all happened in AD 70. It happened throughout history. Now, anybody want to tell me someone that holds this view? Wow. That goes back to the reading. Every writer in the 1500s, 1600s, and 1700s held this view. Every single one. So, a commentary that I highly recommend, Matthew Henry. You get him on passages, he's a godly man. You get him in the book of Revelation, and all of a sudden the two witnesses become, who knows? Because everything happens throughout history. So far, you're with me. Okay? Third view, which is primarily the view that we would hold. Everything happens in the future. It's a futurist perspective. So when we read Matthew 24, look at me, we read Matthew 24, and we're reading about the Lord coming and judging, we think, well, that hadn't happened. It's going to happen. You see? But this also is associated with something else. What is it? See if we can think through this. If the other views are always interpreting the Bible symbolically, a futurist view is tied to literal hermeneutics. We think if it hasn't happened literally, it must be happening in the future. Okay? Three views. Got them? When I was a young man, I never heard of this. I came across this by reading Albert Barnes. His stuff used to be out big time. Matthew Henry and a few other people, and it was just bizarre stuff. They were talking about, and we'll look at something. What I grew up on in the churches, Bible-believing churches, where this stuff happens in the future. There is a fourth view. And we were going to talk about it last, and we won't get there today, obviously. Which is a view that it is not directly related to time. So far, so good. Questions? We okay? Something happened. I'm not sure what. Run. Well, see, that's a different question. We're just looking at how it relates to time. Actually, you can be amillennial and hold to preterism or this. You can be postmillennial and hold to it in some ways, but mostly them are preterist. This is not exactly the, see, I'm giving you new material. These are not exactly the same questions. You're asking about the millennium. We're talking about how this book relates to time. Revelation 11, everybody? Can we? Everybody, Revelation 11. And there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel said, stood saying, rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. But the court without, which is without the temple, leave out. Measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles. In the holy city shall they trod underfoot 42 months. Now, if you're a believer, what does this assume? You'll need to actually read it. It assumes there is at least what? Is everybody reading the text? It assumes there's what? It assumes there's a temple. Is there a temple today? How long ago did we lose the temple? 70 AD. Titus came in. His father had gone back to Rome to become emperor, Vespasian. Titus comes in and destroys the temple. If you go to Rome today, you can still see the Arch of Titus, which literally they carved it, a description of carrying the treasures of the temple away from Jerusalem, including the menorah, the lights. This isn't religion. This happened. Never been a temple since AD 70. So when you're reading this, how does it relate to time? What? Well, if the book of Revelation was written before AD 70, some people will say, it's already happened. This has already transpired. Some people would say it's not related to time at all. It's just about this great struggle that goes on between good and evil. Some people will say it happens throughout time, and then futurists are going to say, well, there is no temple now, but there will be. Folks, I just read this week on 2 Thessalonians. Look at 2 Thessalonians 2. Maybe this would help us. I don't know. All right, 2 Thessalonians 2. Let me see here. Let's start in verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. So Paul thought the Lord's coming was still future. He didn't think it had already happened in AD 70. That you be not soon shaken in mind nor troubled, or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, as at the day of Christ or the day of the Lord is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, an apostasy, and that the man of sin be revealed, or the man of lawlessness be revealed, the son of perdition. This is talking about a future Antichrist. Well, that's what I would think. And it says in verse 4, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Young people and not so young. When does this happen? I read the five views this week on this thing, and this is what people say. Some people said, well, this is talking about AD 70. But the problem is nobody went into the temple. Nobody did any of this stuff. So then some people say, well, it's not really talking about a literal temple. It's just talking about these events that happened throughout history where people oppose God. What we would hold to is this is going to happen in the future when the temple is rebuilt. Antichrist, in the middle of the tribulation, will come into the temple and he will shut down all religion because he is religion. Worship me. Some people will say it's just talking about this long, eternal struggle between good and evil. So that is your four views. Now, let me ask you, can you remember them? It's really hard. past, ongoing, future, or no relationship to time at all. It's just that simple. Those are the four views. Now, I'm bringing this up because of a lot of reasons. It doesn't hurt for us to have an education. And number two, I'm assuming you're going to read someday. The moment you read a book, you're going to be really confused. Because you're going to go, oh my goodness. And sometimes it's very good people's book. When I was a kid, when I was your age, 95% of the evangelical world had broadly the same views. Today, 30%, 40%, and then everything under the sun is out there. Everything. There's a whole lot of this. And then there's a whole lot of just, But it goes back to communication. How do we know what it means? Well, we got to figure out what the author intended. I'm going to go through the views. We're going to start with the first view. We'll try to at least get through one. I hope to get through two. The historicist approach. The historicist approach. And I've already given you this in a nutshell, but I'll give it to you in a definition. Revelation surveys all of church history. Revelation surveys all of church history up to the time of the author or preacher or shortly thereafter. So what is Revelation? The historicist view, this view that everything happens throughout history, that's called the historicist view, is that Revelation happens throughout history up to my time. And my time was, let's say here, my time is 1391 was when I was a pastor. Frenchie was young, but he was alive then. 1391, I think there was a thing in England, I could be wrong, but I think there was a thing called the Peasants' Revolt. And preachers and Christians caught up, you say, what difference does it make? Who cares how you read the book of Revelation? Well, here's the reason. They start reading the book of Revelation, and they think the revelation is speaking about them, directly to them. And this happened in Europe later, when Martin Luther was a pastor. The peasants revolted there, and they murdered people by the thousands because they believed all of this was taking place up until my time. That's the idea. And guess what? In my time, the kingdom is going to come, and we're going to help the kingdom come by murdering all the nobles. Folks, I can still find the picture. At one of these messes, Thomas Münzer was one of the guys, but there was a city in Germany where not the Catholics, could have been Catholics, could have been Lutherans, I don't remember which it was. And I'm not defending anybody, I'm just stating fact. These people, these revolutionaries, were murdering everybody. They thought they could defeat the army. They came out and didn't do so well against an army with people with weapons. So they took the leaders, they killed them, they put them at the city wall gates up high in what would you call them, like a cage. Thank you, Frenchie. Folks, they were there up until not long ago, their bones. For hundreds of years, they just left them out there to rot. Because they didn't want anybody to ever think the way to bring in God's kingdom is to kill people. Especially people that had more money than you. Do you ever listen to the news and the hatred of the poor for the rich, so-called? And rich ends up being anybody that has a job that pays taxes? That owns a house? Folks, we have that same underbelly. This is where it came. Now, I'm not saying it only came from that, but that's part of what happened. All right, in your notes. I see in this, in its pure form, this is rarely, if ever, found today. But I wouldn't be surprised if it comes back. It was the common view during the Reformation and following. It was the common view during the Reformation and following. So I'm going to give you names of people that you read their books, you'll find this information. John Wycliffe, John Knox, William Tyndale. You ever heard of him? Good guy? You wouldn't have a Bible without it. He was the guy that translated the New Testament into English, folks. Martin Luther, John Calvin, Ulrich Zwingli, By the way, did Zwingli believe this? Yes, he actually fought in the army and got killed in a battle. Philip Melanchthon, later Sir Isaac Newton, John Huss. I mean, the list, John Fox, John Wesley, Jonathan Edwards, George Whitefield, Charles Finney, Matthew Henry, Adam Clark, Albert Barnes. The list goes on and on and on and on and on. This was the common view. That what's Revelation talking about? Look at me. It's talking about me and my struggle. And I'll give you where this takes off at. Many of our heroes of the faith held to this position. This position, and I'm using Greek here, was just a smidgen. Is that a good Greek word, smidgen? It's a technical term. It was just a smidgen with just a smidgen of added fanaticism and thinking you have the gift of prophecy. Have you guys ever remember people like David Koresh? Do you remember him? Waco? Do you not know what he did with the book of Revelation? He did exactly this. He read the book of Revelation as talking about him. And therefore, we arm things and we kill people and we fight the government. Almost every cult in history is historicist. That's the game they play. And by the way, who's the good guy always? Yeah, it is important how you read the scripture. Very important. If you don't know Waco, maybe you weren't around then, but it was a mess, to say the least. How many? I don't even know. Bunches of people died, burned to death. All right. So, you know, I say this. I listed good people on the whole, but there were the fanatics took this a little bit further. They added fanaticism, the gift of, meaning God speaks to me, the gift of prophecy. Boy, if you tell me God speaks to you, I get nervous. Do you? So when somebody comes to you and tells you, as a man that used to come to this church told me, his wife opens the Bible, points to a verse, and that's her verse. Does that scare you? Why? Tim Durham, why does that scare you? It's not the way God communicates. How does God communicate with us? Through the Word, but not through some line of Scripture. You know, and you could come up with about anything, couldn't you? By the way, happened right here. It's not religion. Happened right here. Went on for days. Still going on. Still a fool. Or the Holy Spirit told me. And man, I've run into some of those. So in your notes, here's the basis and the basics of this. The prophecies are up till my time. So basically, Book of Revelation starts here, and they symbolically interpret all of this stuff to right here when I'm alive, whatever year it is. I think 1523. I'm wrong on some of these dates because I've never tried to memorize them. Was the Peasants' Revolt in Germany? Maybe. Don't hold me to that because it's in the 1500s. But you have these peasant revolts, and you have people starting to say, God speaks to me. And God has been working up till my time, and I am the key to this prophecy. Wow. Let's continue. Of course, I say in your notes, I'm the good guy. We are the chosen ones. Next, we must aid the side of righteousness. We must aid the side of righteousness. You say, that's a good idea, but not the next word. Militarily. Dada, I think I can already see Louis. Louis's working on his arsenal. He starts thinking he's the chosen one. Does this ever happen? Look me in the eyes and say, honey, does this happen? Yes or no? Happens right in this country. People start thinking, I hate this. By the way, our media is obsessed and insane. But there's pieces of what they say that I do understand. You know, calling people names is not a good idea because some people might actually take that seriously. You know, calling all the folks, listen, do I think we need to do something about the borders with Mexico? Well, of course, you got to do something. You have to have, any country has to have that, but criminals? Are most Mexicans you know, with the exception of Rolando, criminals? And the answer would be, well, I don't think so. Most of them are hardworking people. Come here for a living. By the way, you have to be careful with rhetoric, because if you add a little religion to that, and some people that aren't real mentally sane, yeah, you start having people helping God. All right, you guys are with me. You know, you thought this was just a little talk, didn't you? No, this is, look at me. How you read the Bible is life. How you don't read the Bible is life, too, or death. So prophecies happen up until my time. I'm the good guy. We're the chosen ones. We must aid the side of righteousness militarily. Next, we will usher in the kingdom. Lastly, now don't anybody get mad at me, please. I'm stating facts. In these days, the Antichrist was the Pope. That was just a given. That's even in doctrinal statements. The Antichrist was a Pope. I don't think David Koresh said the Antichrist was a Pope. He would probably said religion was the Pope, you know, the Antichrist. Government was the Antichrist. It's never me. I don't have any of those tendencies. Now, let me write something on the board. Some of you have read a novel one time that talked about this. Rolando, this is an important time in American history for my family. From 1620 to 1640 is called, in England, the Great Puritan Migration to the New World. We came from England and founded New England, Massachusetts, and surrounding places. A little bit later than this, Charles, well, you have James first. He died in 1625. Then you have his son, Charles, which was just an absolute knucklehead because he decided he would just control everybody down to the fine tooth, and there was a civil war in England. Now, at the very beginning of this, Puritans just fled because they were persecuted greatly. But after a point, they beheaded this old boy. And then you have the period of time that England goes into meltdown. I bring all of this up because some Baptists played this game too. They were generally called fifth monarchy men. Do you remember in Daniel there are four great kingdoms? And the fifth one is the Lord's kingdom. They called themselves fifth monarchy men. And they tried to overthrow even Oliver Cromwell. Christians can be stupid. The moment you think you have God's ear and you are the special one. By the way, God didn't put us here to kill people, murder people, oppress people, look down on people who are different than us. That's not what the church's job is, never has been. But we read Revelation as if we're going to help God out militarily. Okay? You say, that would never happen to me. Okay. Next page. This view, as I say in your notes, requires symbolic interpretation. Obviously, when you're reading these things, you can't read them literally, so you have to read them symbolically. Actually, what you're going to find is the view that everything happened in the first century or throughout, or that it's not related, all three of those are symbolic interpretation. Pastor Kowak dealt with that three different services, and that's the bottom line. Things are not related to time. They're related to, you know, or first century, or historicist. Everything is symbolic. But this requires symbolic interpretation. Maybe next week I'll bring some weird thing from Albert Barnes or something if I still have it. All right, next. There is no agreement or total disagreement among its advocates. You say, why could there be no agreement? Why could we not agree? Well, think about this. Yeah, and also, if it all happens at my time, and my time is 1523, what about 1652? You see, after a while, there's no agreement among this. This just becomes a way of justifying killing, murdering, raping, pillaging. Or how about this? I don't have any money, but I'm going to take it from you, Mike.
At that time, when the bad thing happened, they seemed bigger because they seemed more in the population.
Yes. Yes. A huge amount of population. Yes. Yeah, I would agree with Mike, folks. If you understand the 30-year war in England, in Europe, which happened, I'm not trying to bore you, from 1618 to 1648, which only had one cause, and that cause was religion. Thank you. One cause, religion. It decimated Europe. It took away, in some places, two-thirds the populations of areas. Now, you can't even imagine driving around here and two-thirds of the people are gone. But in all areas, it took away a third. So after a point, there were so many people dead that they just came to the Peace of Westphalia, 1648, and said, we got to quit this fighting because we're not going to have anybody left. Yeah, and well, the plague was earlier, but yeah, 1300s. But let me say this, folks, and all you do is add a little fanaticism to your religion. I'm the chosen one. God speaks to me. You know, open the Bible. Eeny, meeny, you know, got my verse. Wow. It's interesting how God speaks to people. What time is dinner? Yeah. Yeah, according to Rhonda, and Rhonda's always correct. All right, next in your notes. This view, probably the greatest weakness of this view, and I don't have time to discuss this morning. This view, which a lot of the reformers had, never mentions the church outside of Europe. Most of the Reformed people, look at me, folks, had never traveled. Do you know how dumb you are when you don't travel? And I'm not talking about you've been to Missouri. You don't know other people exist. You don't know where they exist. If I ask you today, I know a pastor's wife, but my good friend, Pastor Leto, lost his wife. He died. His wife has two children. Remember, she was pregnant with the second son when he died. Allergic reaction to penicillin, just died. He was 40-something. She has two children. She was pregnant with the second one, so he never saw the second boy. She lives in Surigao del Sur. I'm sure you know where that's at, right? See, our limitedness, Mike, also, that happened over there. I don't care about that. That's part of our problem, especially, but in those days, yeah. But most people didn't know the church existed. Let me ask you a question. If I told you that the church was a speck in Europe compared to what it was in the Middle East and in China, would you know that? And would you know when that was? You do remember when Marco Polo went to China, he saw Christians the whole way over. But they were destroyed by the Mongols and also the Muslims. Christianity existed in other places and other than Europe. When you read all of this historicism, it acts like everything happens in Europe. Oh, no. Christians are every place, and they were a long time ago. I actually have a book by a guy named Jenkins. It's a big old thick book on what's called lost Christianity, talking about where Christians were. Now, many of them are not there now. They were, by the way, used to be in Saudi Arabia. Can you imagine? Muhammad basically killed them all or ran them out. Next in your notes. So this view never mentions the church outside of Europe as if no other Christians exist in the Middle East or the Far East or, frankly, Africa. Certainly not India. We know there are no Christians in India. Is that correct, Sam? No Christians in India. By the way, folks, there were Christians in India very early. Is that right? In the South, first century. But when you read these books, that's where you get limited. Next, this view also says nothing to the seven churches in Asia Minor. And one of the weaknesses of this view that sees everything happening here, do you realize this book was not written to you? It was written to the seven churches in Asia Minor. It has to say something to them. All right, next week we'll pick up with the preterist view. Thank you. I hope this was at least enlightening. So, Cassie, what time is lunch? If you ask my mother what time lunch is, she'd look at you funny. Because for her, the way I grew up, lunch is what you carried in a brown bag when you went to work. Dinner was at noon. All right, let's stand and pray. We're done. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this time. As we begin to kind of think about the book of Revelation and the idea of time, and I guess maybe more importantly than all this, it's not a good thing for us to read the Bible in a way that defends us. Like, boy, how did the Lord ever do without us? It's a beautiful thing to know that you save us, you call us from sin, you make us your child, you create people that love you. But it's not a good thing when we take that in places where we think, let's have an armed revolt and murder, pillage. Help us to hear your word, we ask, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, folks. Da, 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 da. But there is a lot of that, and it can be so subtle sometimes, where you thought you heard something, and then you think about this: what if you don't like me? Then you're going to hear my communication even at different ways. People will hear things I know I never said. Why?
But they come with their own biases.
And their own, yes. I hear a voice. Yes, Senior died. Yes. He died this last year. The guy you know, Sproul's gone. Oh, yeah, he's gone. Well, without being... Yeah, yeah. Well, he's Presbyterian. He's Presbyterian. But the good stuff is good. You know, you just... How do you eat manioc? There's the three ways of eating manioc, you know? There's the one group that says, I don't eat manioc because there's bones in it. There's another group that says, I eat the bones too. And then there's me. I eat the meat and throw the bones out. That's my hermeneutics for the day. Isn't that right? I just throw the bones out. He's a predator, strongly. But he didn't start out that way. A lot of this was being hyper-Presbyterian.
And then there's the already not yet.
Well, they play with that game too, yeah. Fifth monarchy man. Did you guys study that in college? Oh, there is a lot of talk about that. And in Dr. Beal from Bob Jones, his book on Baptist history, he gets into that because there were Baptists playing around with that fifth monarchy stuff.
So in a way, they were kind of, I think they were called Jacobites. Were they forebearing?
No, the Jacobites are something totally different. Jacobites were people that wanted to bring back the reign of the, they were usually Scottish, and they wanted to bring back either James II or his son or his grandson. You know, there was the old pretender and the young pretender, and this went on till 1746, Culloden Moor, when they got wiped out, basically. No, this was a group of Puritans, and they were fifth monarchy men, and they caused everybody problems. And the reason that the Puritans lost the common, whether everybody was saved or not, they weren't. But they could have gained common consent in England to have peace. So when you read about John Bunyan being in jail, all of that was caused by these fifth monarchy people that they didn't like any government. So no matter what we did, they hated it and they wanted to overthrow it because they saw themselves bringing in the kingdom right now, and it's our job and we're the select few. Yeah. And some Baptists...